ESPN Radio 93.5,
95.3. Mondays and Fridays, we welcome two distinguished gentlemen to sort out the problems of the sports and the regular world. Brother Johnny in studio. Johnny.
David J.
Mike Ditka live near ESPN headquarters this morning. Coach, how are you?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
We're great. We're particularly
Friday. Mike, what a great place to eat dinner. Chicago, Illinois. Mike Ditka's.
What? We had a good time, thank you. The women were great. The food was good. The company was good. I mean, it was good. It turned out to be a nice night.
Where can I buy that bone-in filet I ate? It was crazy.
Well, we're going to be able to sell online. Actually, we're working on the deal right now. We're just closing the deal with the provision company, the meat guy, and they do a good job. Everybody has to have a good purveyor. You know, we know that in the restaurant business. There are some that are more famous than others, but our guy does an outstanding job. We're very proud of the food and service we get from him.
And the steady stream of well-wishers for Mike Ditka asking for pictures and autographs.
Well, it's a good crowd, too, Mike. Yeah. I think a lot of people eating a good meal up there. So that's good.
We've been fortunate. I've got good partners. We have good business, and you're right. But that's all part of it. It's when I'm there, you know, the people that are downtown, or if I'm out in Oak Brook or Pittsburgh, I mean, that's going to happen. That's part of it. But, you know, that's a small price to pay for having a good restaurant.
Well, it's fun to see you with the people because you're so gracious, you're kind, you're patient, and you take all the pictures, you hold all the babies, you're just awesome with us. It's amazing.
They love the coach.
They love the coach. All right, Jose Marie Olafabel. That was yesterday at the Ryder Cup.
Last night when we got together at the team meeting, all I did was just tell the boys that I still believe that we could turn things around, that all we needed was just to be a little bit more effective on the greens and to make a few more putts, and that would change the tide for us. And I think the players believed. And you know what happened today, it will go down in the history books of the Ryder Cup.
Mike, I don't know if you can call a timeout in golf, but boy, I'd have called all three of mine somewhere in there. That was tough to watch.
Well, the thing is, though, guys, and you know, I watched as much as I could of it, and I watched the majority, I would say, of it. You know, the winner wasn't Europe, and the loser wasn't the United States. The winner was golf, the game of golf. I think golf created so many more fans, both in Europe and in the United States. And these people, it was great competition. And the best team won. There's no question about that. I'm not arguing that point. On that day, the best team won because they got the ball to go in the hole. And that's the object, to get the ball to go in the hole. Well, I thought the real winner was golf. I mean, and the Ryder Cup what the historical series means, I thought that was the winner, believe me.
I think Mike's got a point there, Stevie. And of course, Steve's just pretty shaking his head. He's a USA team fan.
You bet.
I couldn't distinguish. You know, these guys, some of my favorite golfers are those Europeans.
Not Europeans, actually. Yeah.
And so it's hard to cheer against them like that, Steve.
It's
like Mickelson when Rose makes the 35-foot putt downhill. What are you going to do?
Yeah, he claps.
Say nice putt. You laugh and you say good putt. Yeah. What the hell?
Exactly. It was unbelievable. And here's Luke Donald, who lives in Chicago and plays for Europe. Come on, Luke. Come on, Luke. Luke Donald, I think, would have won every golf tournament in the world yesterday the way he was playing.
Oh, absolutely. Oh. He was on fire. I watched the beginning of me. He was dialed in. And plus, you got to understand, you know, there were a lot of people out there cheering for Luke, too.
That's
was Luke,
no kid.
Luke,
yeah.
Luke.
No,
boom,
no,
boom,
no.
Boom.
He played at Northwestern.
Steve said
you're right.
There's a 250,000 people, I guess, that went out to watch, so... That's a big draw.
You know that they have.
Well, I think it's a veteran in Chicago's hat. I think people realize now Chicago's a great sports town in a lot of areas, but it's a really great sport. I mean, sport as far as golf is concerned.
All right, Ryder Cup again goes to Scotland in 2 years. Hey, the crowds will be crazy. The thing's quite a series. It's fun. I guess the U.S. Johnny thinks we've won two of the last 10 or
so. We've not done that well lately, I don't think. But.
Well, there's a reason for that. The other team wins.
They're better.
We're not trying, guys.
All right. And by the way, what in the heck? There's a 244-yard hook wind over the water par 3 feel like. Come on.
With a 6-iron. No, it wasn't a 6-iron on that hole. It was, I think they hit a 3-iron or something, or a utility club.
Yeah.
But you tell me. I mean, guys. I want to tell this to people who are listening. What these guys did to that golf course is incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, what Luke Donald did, I mean, that's a great golf course. That's a tough golf course. These guys are the best in the world.
Boy, no kidding.
They really brought the course to its knees.
Well, you know, Steve, the Americans always appreciate excellence, regardless of the winner.
Right.
Watching that level of excellence is always fun.
It really was. All right, the big winner, golf. I go with Coach on that. Coach Mike Ditka, Brother Johnny, ESPN Radio, 739. The New Orleans Saints lose to the Packers, a heck of a game.
Oh, boy.
The referees getting standing O's at the beginning of these games, but by about the third quarter, Mike was back to normal.
They were struggling. Mike, I tell you, I don't know if the Saints can play a whole lot better, which wasn't great, but, you know, we had a chance.
They played a good team. They played a very good team. Don't forget that, John. They played a good team. They played Lambeau Field. Yeah, the Saints are going to win a lot of games. I just went over this. This is a good football team. They don't give up. They're not playing very well on the defensive side of the ball. And I mean, coverage-wise, tip-wise. But, you know, and so when that happens, they're putting Breeze in a catch-up mode a lot. So, you've got to play catch-up football. And that's, they would like to play with a little bit of a lead once in a while.
Well, and I thought that the Green Bay defense was pretty weak most of the game. I don't know why. Because
yeah.
they have Matthews, they have Hawk, they have Woodson, and yet they just don't seem to have a very good overall defense up at Green Bay this year. So at least our guys seem more open against Green Bay than they did against Kansas City and Washington.
And I agree with you there. They're not very good in the secondary. That's the problem. But if they don't get a pass rush, they have problems.
All right, the Philadelphia Eagles nip, and it was a close one. The Giants last night late. Boy, I tell you, again, it comes down to a field goal. Here's the field goal. It's missed, Coach Philadelphia called a timeout. The guy got another shot at it, and it was just short by about a yard.
Man, I'll tell you.
The penalty took him. The penalty took
him
back
right.
5 yards. You know, the offensive pass interference took him back 5 yards, and it really – hey, you know what? You know what? Philadelphia did what they had to do to win the game. They didn't turn the ball over. They didn't get the quarterback sacked. They ran the ball effectively, and they ended up winning a football game, which I didn't think they could win. I thought the Giants were a better football team. So, you know, that's one I missed. But, you know, I take my hat off to you because everybody wanted to fire Andy Reid and you want to make a change in quarterback. Listen, these guys know what they're doing. They're coaches for a reason. And I was glad to see them respond. I really was. I thought these are two very good football teams. I think both of these football teams can make the playoffs.
Well, I'll tell you, Coach, I do appreciate the rigors of the head coaching job and how important it is to have a good head coach because we don't have one right now and we're 0-4. So.
But I think that guy is doing the best he can. You know, don't forget, he's not Sean Payton. And Sean Payton had a very creative imagination. He was a very good football coach. And, you know, he made some great things happen with that offense by design. But still, I mean, this guy is doing the best. You know, and hey, listen, they're going to win games, and they're going to win a lot of games that people think they probably should win before this is over.
I tell you, we're struggling at Illinois. We've been blown out at home 2 games in a row, and you got a young coach, a good guy, trying his best, but the guys are starting to argue amongst themselves. Mike, you've been around that in a sense. How do you correct all of that from the standpoint of chemistry and arguing with each other as opposed to working toward one goal and winning a football game?
Well, you get what you tolerate. Unfortunately, it's a little bit different in college football because, you know, the guys are on scholarship. That's who you have to play with. But if I had guys that were instigators or problem makers, I would sit them. Period. Now, it may hurt me a little talent-wise on the field, but I think if I'm going to create the kind of discipline and attitude that overall I want on my football team, then that has to happen, period. So I think the players, sometimes they get a little selfish and they do a little finger point at times. But, that really surprised me. I mean, that was a butt-whipping. I mean, that really surprised me.
That was disappointing for the Illini fans.
Yeah, no question. All right, Mike Ditka, Brother Johnny on ESPN Radio 93.5, 95.3. Wednesday night, debate number one, Mitt Romney, Barack Obama. And the lowering of expectations has begun.
I know folks in the media are speculating already on who's going to have the best zingers. I don't know about that. You know, who's going to put the most points on the board? Governor Romney, he's a good debater. I'm just okay.
He's just okay, Mike. He's just okay.
That's the only self-pity he's ever had. I mean, not the only self-pity, but I mean, that's the only time he's ever downplayed how great he is in anything. But that's okay.
But he was kidding, Mike. He was smiling. It was a joke. He's a comedian. He's a singer.
I understand. And that's what it is. I mean, he was having fun with it. I had no problem with that. I think the one thing about the debate will be interesting. It doesn't matter what's said or who says what. I think it's going to be interesting how it's interpreted.
Right.
Well, I told Johnny I can write the story now. The story's been written for Thursday morning. How great Barack Obama did.
Very frustrating.
And how Mitt Romney looks like another country clubber, another rich guy that is out of touch. I can write it now, Mike. New York Times. I can write it right now.
It's pretty interesting, and I don't disagree with that. I think that's what you're going to get from the mainstream media anyway. So.
It's just very, very difficult. And for more perspective on the debate,
the conventional wisdom suggests that President Obama has the advantage going in. He's leading in the polls. He's a seasoned debater. John McCain's debate coach from 4 years ago has some advice for Mitt Romney.
He needs to be what I would say is passionately aggressive.
Brett O'Donnell.
Meaning that he's respectful of the president, but yet he is passionate about making the case that it's the president's policies which have failed Americans and caused the economy to be even worse than it was when he took office.
50 million people are expected to watch the debates on TV.
All right, we'll see if that happens. That'd be a lot of people, Mike.
I don't understand that guy. I really don't. How can you be respectful of something that you don't admire? I mean, how can you be respectful of the policy of the individual? I mean, and that's what he's basically saying. Be respectful of what, the office? And we're all respectful of the office. So, but if the person in the office doesn't uphold the office, eventually you got to say, hey, time out. But I really understand what that guy was saying. I mean, I think Romney's got to go on the offensive, and he's got to say, listen, here's where you were 4 years ago. Here's where you are now. Look at it. I'm talking about economically. I'm talking about domestically. I'm talking about the foreign policy. Here's where we were. Here's where you are. Are we better off, really? Are we? And then you answer the question.
It was a mess when they got it, Mike. Come on, it was just a mess.
No, it was a lot better than what it is now. Believe me, 4 years ago was a hell of a lot better than it is now.
Well, I'll tell you, Mike, if anybody who says I'm not sure who I'm voting for right now, I don't know if they're going to watch the debate anyway. I just don't think they're plugged in enough. So we may get 50 million people, but I can see 25 on each side cheering for their guy. I don't know how much I guess my point is I don't know how much the debate –
Absolutely, you're right. But you know, then again, the media made a big deal out of the 47% comment. But basically, the man was exactly right. So I mean, if we're looking, you got to be looking for that certain percentage that's going to change things. And if they can't find that, they're not going to win it. That's all there is to it, guys. It is what it is.
I think that goes back to your point, and I think it's not so much the debate during prime time. I think it's the next 3 or 4 days, Stevie, after the debate. We leave the impression of whatever, and it's probably going to be Obama did very well.
Well, the narrative is it's over. He's, you know, Romney's down. And all I'm seeing, I check all the sites, CBSNews.com, ABC News, CNN. I check them all just to see the headline. How can Romney get back on track?
Yeah.
I mean, wait a minute.
Well, but don't forget about Scott Walker, who we talked to Friday, governor of Wisconsin, exit polls during the race, Mike, had him tied, and he won by 10 points. So it comes down to who actually votes for whom. So we'll see what really happens. But it's going to be an interesting 1 month, Stevie. That's about all there is left.
No question.
It's October 1st today.
It's October 1. What would the morning be without a little Joe Biden?
I've got news for Governor Romney. I got news for Congressman Ryan. America is neither dependent nor in decline. And, gentlemen, it's never, never been a good bet to bet against the American people.
Well, we're not betting against the American people. We're betting against the policies that are in action right now, Mike.
Well, Biden, actually, if you look in a dictionary, the word idiot, he really is a picture of him. I mean, he's talking about a man who rambles on about and has very little substance at all. So, I mean, when people who listen to Joe Biden, if they buy anything he says, to me, that would be, that would be the kind of people who listen to him, really. They'll buy anything.
Hey,
really.
The crowd is going crazy.
Well, I don't know. Joe's, I guess he's a likable guy, but I tell you what, I hope Barack Obama's at least healthy.
Wait a minute. Would you take President Obama, or if Obama said, I'm leaving the race, and Joe Biden, I'd take Biden over Obama.
I'm
right
not
now.
100% sure about that, actually. but, yeah, I don't know, Mike. Between the two of them, I'd like to move on. but we get to vote on that.
Yeah.
Well, it is what it is, guys. You know, that's why we have elections, and that's why we have debates, and that's why people have a chance to push that thing in the ballot box, and they say, hey, listen, this is my choice. I'm making it, and you make the wrong choice, we get the wrong guy. You make the right choice, we get the right guy, or you make your choice, you get who you want. That's all there is to it.
You know, I talked to a guy Saturday at the football game, made an interesting point. He says, I don't see how Obama can win if you look at all the Jewish vote, the Catholic vote, the African-American vote, this vote. They're all going to be down. There's no way the energy is the same as it was in 2008.
It's definitely down.
So how is it that it's such a slam dunk based on the polling you're reading? It doesn't make a lot
of
sense.
Well, I don't hear it being a slam dunk. I think he's leading. Most of the time, he's still within a margin of error, too. So I think you're hearing he's winning and this and that, but I don't think anyone's saying it's over, Stevie. I think they would be the last to say that. And yeah, he's lost a lot of those the portions of those constituencies, and whether or not he can win in the states he needs to win in, Steve. That's the other thing. You can kind of pinpoint where you're weak, and that's how the game's played. So yeah, it's close, but it's not over. It's anybody's game right now.
And Ross Perot, by the way, is not making an endorsement. He does say that we are on a fiscal cliff, which we've been hearing about. I'm not sure if anybody really understands what that means.
Well, I mean, I think it means unrest and the type of thing Europe is going through, Spain and Greece, for example. That's what we're thinking. But
people don't think that can happen here.
Well, that's right.
But guys, we have right now, we have a president who wants us to become that kind of an economy, that kind of a socialistic type country. That's what he wants. He wants America to be dependent on the government and the government to run everything. And the only thing government can run is run everything down, and period. I mean, we got a lot of problems. We think that the smartest people in America are our politicians. We got a lot of problems.
Well, I think Steve makes a point. I think we have a large number of the population, and maybe we're one of them, Steve, or two of them, that don't really know what bad can be, Mike, because we've come through, we were born in the 50s, and we've been very blessed in this country. We don't know what bad is. We haven't really had the consequences of a real mistake. So we can choose to believe, well, that's not going to happen. Well, this guy's, I want to vote for that. I want to vote for what I'm hearing. It doesn't matter whether it's got any basis in reality. And then the next thing you know, we make a mistake, things go bad, and it's like, wow, now I see why we needed to think a little bit about that. But we don't have that kind of truth versus consequences in this new generation.
I only give you one thing that he said. You can't spend more than you earn. And that was Lincoln. And I'm going on and on about that. You cannot spend. Now, our debt is, you know, we don't have a budget. Our debt is increased so much since 2008 when he took, it's incredible. Now you say, what is it? Signs of the times? This is just a natural movement of things. I don't think so. I really don't. So I think unless these things are curbed or corrected, we're going to have major problems.
But you can't spend more than you earn or what? And that's what people don't understand. Right? They don't know, but they don't understand what's the problem. We have been spending more than you earn. They're still getting that. They've got their phones. They've got their TVs. We got our cars. We're spending more than we earn. There's nothing wrong with that. And when we have to pay the price for doing that, then we'll understand. But I'm afraid you might have to go through some rough times, I guess.
Well, and I think the major complaints we have these days is where our tickets are, how many tattoos and pierced body parts, and how much gas costs. I mean, we don't have the level of, I mean, we just don't understand the purple fingers from Iraq and a chance to vote. We don't have that.
The creation of debt without a program to eliminate it is stupid. I mean, it's stupid in everybody's individual life. It's stupid in the government's life. It's stupid in the whole world. If you want to create debt and you have no plan to alleviate it, you're going to have big problems.
Right.
Because, I'm not smart. I'll say this, but I learned a long time ago, I will never, ever have debt again. And I paid everything off, and I will never have a credit card debt. Never. I don't even use them anymore.
Sounds
and
pretty smart to me, Coach.
You have to have one. I mean, I have to have one because, you know, every once in a while they want to see it when I check into the hotel. You have to have something. And I have one. But I think people, they get so trapped in this. Okay, I've got to buy a car. It's going to take me umpteen years to pay it off. And if you look at what you're paying on the interest, you're paying like a time and a half what the car is really worth, or twice what it's really worth.
Right. This from a man who could have, should have, would have beaten Barack Obama in 2004, ladies and gentlemen. If only. No, it makes common sense, and that's what the country lacks. Pat Quinn proposes the federal government bails out all the pension problems in Illinois.
Okay.
So Senator DeMint from South Carolina says, whoa, if every state asks for this, the federal government will go $25 trillion more in debt. We can't bail out the pensions anymore. And Pat Quinn has gone to the federal government saying, we need some help.
Well, Pat Quinn is an idiot. We know that.
The governor of Illinois.
We know what the state of Illinois has done to itself with its governor and its mayor in Chicago. I mean, you talk about policies that are archaic. Well, they just don't get it, you know. But then again, that's liberal mentality.
No. Well, it's a pyramid scheme, Steve. At some point, someone doesn't have the money to bail you out.
That's right. Well, we continue to look forward, not in the sense of a Barack Obama forward campaign, but we look ahead with hopeful eyes. Maybe things will turn around after this election. Maybe, you know, it gets better no matter what. Or maybe if the president wins, we continue on what we've been doing. There's a lot of problems and everybody's concerned, Mike. But again, you be positive the best you can. You vote for who you want to vote for. We'll see what happens November 7th.
Exactly. And the main thing is, you know, again, as I said, you know, in the long run, America has to be the winner, and we got to find a way to make America the winner, no matter who's the president or who's in office or who's the politicians or anything else.
Well, speaking of winners, Stevie, you got your Monday night football.
Chicago, Dallas, Mike, what's your take on that thing?
Well, I think, you know, the key is really, I think, the Chicago defense. I think how much pressure, how effective they can be against Romo is going to be the key. You know, the Dallas defense isn't great. The Dallas offensive line isn't great. But Romo's a heck of a football player, so I think they're going to have to limit his effectiveness. And if they can do that, they should be in good position to win a football game. So I think they match up well defensively and special teams. And depends on what Cutler does. If he doesn't have a meltdown, they should be okay.
I think that they're going to get a lot of viewers for that game. Chicago, Dallas.
Yeah. I remember back in the day, Mike, your team beat Dallas 44-0, as I recall.
Well, you know that was a different time, and that was no fun because that was my mentor, Tom Landry.
Tom Landry. But,
this is a whole different era and a whole different thing, and this has nothing to do with Landry or Cowboys and Bears. I mean, it is all about the Cowboys and Bears.
What about Tom Landry? What a
great
fantastic
guy. One of my favorites.
Oh.
He was the greatest. And you know, that was no fun that day. It really was. Not for me.
Right, I understand.
I mean, to say that we've arrived, you know, I could say, yeah. But, you know, after the game, he came up to me, and he really was a genuinely tremendous man. And he says, Mike, he says, I knew you guys were good, but I didn't think you were that good.
Oh, wow. And, Mike, we'll be watching you tonight on ESPN. You do a great job on that pregame.
All right, guys. You take care. God bless you.
Thanks a lot,
Talk to you Friday. Thanks so much.